Hey there, podcast family. T-Bone here to talk about the 3D Dentist Digital Implant Continuum. Are you ready to start placing dental implants, but feeling a bit hesitant and or overwhelmed? I know that feeling. I've been there. Let's change that together. Imagine not just learning about dental implants in a classroom, but actually performing surgeries on real patients right here in North Carolina, guided every step of the way by our expert 3D mentors. This is dental implant learning at its best, using techniques that are safe, predictable, and confidence-boosting. They're exactly what I use in my own practice, so you know they work. Our course goes beyond clinical skills. We prepare you to successfully integrate high-demand implant services into your practice, transforming your career by attracting new patients and elevating your practice. And it doesn't end with the course. Completing our program is just the beginning of a new journey. You'll be a part of a community of confident, skilled dentists with ongoing support to ensure lasting success and growth. After all, this is about mastering a skill that can transform your career, just like it did for me. So, are you ready to take your practice to the next level? Visit www.3d-dentist.com, check out our upcoming sessions, and join us to revolutionize your practice. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now let's get back to this week's episode.
For those of you that have been through the class and you failed to launch, get re-engaged. It's time. I'm telling you, stop worrying about the economy and start doing something about it. And these patients are walking in your practice, and plenty of these patients, enough of these patients are willing to do therapy. And look, if you can do two or three cases a month, that's $4,000 to $7,000 a month in revenue. You know, that's $50,000 to $100,000 a year. That moves the needle. And you'll find that it's an amazing addition to your practice. And then it snowballs, or it can snowball into something more amazing for your practice.
We've been misled to believe that dentistry, more specifically the dental business, has to be complicated. Dentistry can be simple, and dentistry should be simple.
Hey, and welcome back to another episode of the Dentistry Made Simple podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Tarun Agarwal, and we are so happy to continue to congratulate Meredith Cooper-Jones that she has had her first baby girl, and they're doing very well. Her and Taylor, her husband, are enjoying. Meredith is trying to come back to work. I keep telling her that she's not allowed to come back to work yet, but we do miss her, and we miss having her as a co-host. So this week, I am going to be bringing on somebody that all of you know, Dr. Erin Elliott, to the podcast, and we're going to be talking about kind of where Erin is in her life and how things are going at the office, and talk a little about sleep apnea this week. So, Erin, how are you doing?
I'm excellent. It's fun to be on here again. It's been a while.
It has been a while, and it's probably been a solid couple of years, I think, since we've had you on the podcast, and so things like that. So let's kind of start and get some of the trivial stuff out of the way. How is life, and how is your practice going?
Well, life is good. I have a senior who is about to go off to Texas A&M. I'm making up for 18 years of not being the room bomb, and I was the auctioneer at the senior grad night fundraiser. So I get to add that to my speaking CV. And then I have a junior. And so we're just kind of thinking of what life's going to be like next. And the practice is good. We added a Friday associate. So we have two doctors there basically 5 days a week. And starting to a little bit more kind of divvy out the not the better production, but the things that I want to be doing.
And what are some of the, like, okay, let's back up. On your practice, it's still you, Ken, and Kelly?
Yes. And now Dr. Sharp on Fridays.
And he's only there, he or she's there 1 day a week?
He is, yeah. His mom and I played pickleball together. And she goes, oh, you're a dentist. I have a son in dental school. He was at Creighton. Maybe he didn't want it, but I took him under my wing.
Yeah, well, sometimes we don't know what's good or bad for us.
Yeah. So he's doing great, and it's kind of fun to see fresh eyes, and he's really doing what I wish I would have done. and he's hitting the CE, the stuff that he didn't learn in dental school, the stuff I didn't know that we were allowed to do, you know, those kind of things.
It's funny you say that. I was just, Rick Sullivan's here. We're doing a one-on-one live patient training on sinus lifts today, and Rick's leading it. They just hired a periodontist at Sullivan Dental Partners in
Brentwood. Wow.
Him and the periodontist were showing each other work, and the periodontist was like, wow, that's pretty good work that you're doing. And so I was like, you know, a lot of times, as general dentists, we don't realize we can be very good. And a lot of times as specialists, they don't realize the general dentist can actually be as equivalent, in terms of some of the work that we do as specialists. And what I've seen in my career, over the last 20, I'm going to hit 24 years of being a dentist this year. What I've seen in my career is the gap between general dentists and specialists has really started to shrink. A lot of it's by technology. A lot of it's also by necessity of being able to get things moving in your practice and keeping up with the changing trends of dentistry.
Well, it's first, I think the specialists see all the screw ups of us attempting something that's above what we should be doing. I also think that there is so much, I just realized by doing these elevated procedures, there's so many things that we're doing for patients that they never would have gone to the specialist as much as we tried to get them to go. And as soon as we offer it, it's like, yeah, now I'll replace this missing tooth. And so I'm really kind of doing the surgical stuff still, along with the general dentistry. And Dr. Harness has really taken what she learned at Wade's full mouth course and doing the cosmetics and the full mouth. And I am more than happy to pass that off. And she's so good.
If I had to prep a tooth the other day to extract it. So, so if I never had to prep a tooth again, that would be... I'm jokingly telling people that I have glasses now so that I can't see, so they don't want me to prep fine margins and things like that anymore.
That works.
So, well, I think this is a good segue into our conversation for today, is that a lot of attention in dentistry is given to specialty procedures and how we can add those into our practice as general dentists. But an area that is often overlooked are procedures that are very much in the purview of dentistry, but there is no specialty for it. So there's not a lot of attention given to this or a lot of realization of the potential or practices of doing this. And one of the things that I learned from you and we've implemented in our practice has been a dental sleep medicine or sleep apnea therapy in dentistry using oral appliances. And now so much more than just oral appliances is available. So I want to take the opportunity to kind of address some concerns, fears, opportunities, and challenges that many dentists may be feeling when it comes to dental sleep medicine.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. So give us kind of some updates on where is dental sleep medicine, sleep apnea for dentistry? Like where does that stand today?
Well, in my practice, it's still booming. But it's interesting over the 14 years now that I've been that I've implemented it in my practice, I've seen these lulls and then this frenzy and then lulls and then frenzy again. And it's almost like when things in dentistry are good and we can find employees and the team is stable, it's like now we can think about sleep apnea. But it's also when big let's say like spear and things like that kind of grab on and focus on it. Then there's the big kind of emphasis on it. And then people realize that it's not like implementing a new crown procedure or something like that. It's a dental solution to a medical problem. So what I say is we have to put our handpiece down and put our stethoscope on. So it does take a little bit different.
She's not being literal in that, but...
Yeah. Well, sometimes I am literal. I put a stethoscope on to look important. But yeah, it's just different than dentistry. But it's totally possible. And there's so many benefits that are intangible in addition to revenue that's team-led. And the patients are eternally grateful. I mean, you really are changing lives. So that's professional satisfaction. But we get a lot of new patients for it too. Like, it's helped our general dentistry side of things. And it's almost like the icing on top, because I am involved probably more than you, but it really is led by a team member, and everyone else kind of just contributes by bringing awareness for patients. And of course the front desk is trained, but it's been good. And I think we're in a little bit of a lull because of, I think, the staffing challenges we had, like team owners, doctors don't really want to invest in team right now, I guess, if it's not stable. But I'm thinking that's starting to stabilize a little bit more.
Yeah, you know, kind of my thoughts on this is that I think we'll see a more attention to sleep apnea within dental practices. The truth is dentistry has been pretty fat and happy since 2020.
Yeah.
We've been inundated with patients. The economy's been amazing. And what I've always seen is that when we start seeing slowdowns, people start getting reactive in their practices. And to me, the best way to grow revenue in a practice is to add procedures that don't require new patients or are already within your practice. And for me, dental sleep medicine was one of those procedures. Now, when I moved into dental sleep medicine or sleep apnea treatment, one, I was a patient first. So that kind of helped me see what was possible and how important it was. But also, I never expected it to grow to what it's become in our practice. And I think the big difference for me and for you compared to many other people is we accepted and understood the runway that was involved in getting sleep apnea off the ground. It isn't like implants or crowns or cosmetic cases where you go learn a skill and you can literally start prepping or doing Monday morning right afterwards. There is a bit more involved. And just like if you're flying a 747, and that's how I think of sleep apnea as a 747 or A380. It's a big plane with lots of opportunity, but you've got to have a longer runway for it to take off. And too many people quit before they get to that point in the runway it's able to take off.
They're just like, it's like, yeah, you're starting to get lift off and then cut the engines.
Yeah, because we're too used to tasting success. So, so that's what I would tell somebody. And then look, I started getting serious about sleep apnea in our practice in about 2015. So that's 6-7 years now. And we've seen it become a significant portion, overall portion of our practice. But for me, it started as an opportunity to help a few patients each month from within our practice. And my initial goal, the way I looked at sleep was we will do 2 to 3, 4 devices a month. We'll add it to our existing patient base, and we'll add it without having to add any team members. And it worked out from that. And then slowly it grew and momentum kicked in, and it turned into something that we needed. It became its own practice within our practice. And that's kind of where we've become with it. So, the reasons for me are you can increase revenue in your practice, which is especially important. So you can say hello to Rick. You can increase revenue in your practice, especially without having to add any patients. And there's our man, Hutan.
I owe you a call, Aaron. It's been so long, buddy.
It's the best type of revenue to your practice, because in theory, you don't have to do any marketing. You don't have to add any team members. You really don't have to buy anything to do sleep apnea. For those of us that are bored or kind of burned out with dentistry, it's something totally new and different that allows us to feed our need to learn, feed our need to provide and create satisfaction for our patients. And what I think is often overlooked in all of this is it is an amazing team procedure that allows your team members to grow and move into a position of of having an ownership mentality and owning something within the practice. So to me, there's lots of reasons to do this. But if you're looking for a quick fix, if you're looking for something that just booms magically, I don't think sleep apnea is that for a practice. It can be that, but you got to give it the runway for it to take off.
And the few things on that is we were still collecting money during the shutdown, our 5-week shutdown. But we were also still seeing patients because it was essential. So the patients keep coming, even though if there's a slowdown in dentistry, the sleep patients keep coming. But I just got asked on an inbox, like, I just don't have the patience for this. I really want to learn it, but where do you get your patients from? And it, going out to doctors, all this. I'm like, there is at least two or more every day in your practice. You don't have to look easily anywhere else. And you're right about not having to make a big investment. You don't have to have cone beam, even though we're 3D dentists. You don't have to have cone beam to come to the course.
You don't even have to have a digital impression machine.
Yeah. And I have to say that, you know, with these kind of lulls and now it, like, everything's airway. There's a lot of places that are teaching things that are complicated. Like, you don't have to complicate it. We do teach oral appliances, but those work and medical insurance covers it. You don't necessarily have to bill medical if you're going to be doing, you know, a few a month, but if you really want to make it a program or a business, then you'll want to navigate that, but it is possible. Medical insurance is paying.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's a medical code. It's a medically billable procedure. And like any good business, any good medical insurance, they want to keep the money as much as they can. So over time, they make it more and more complicated. But that hasn't stopped us. You know, we would definitely in the beginning use medical insurance much more reliantly than we do now. And what we're seeing now is patients are more and more accepting that insurance are crooks and they don't pay as much as they should, it could and would. And patients are paying out of pocket. And so what I would tell people that say to me that, hey, I would do sleep apnea, but this medical insurance that bothers me, I would say, you know what? You don't have to do medical insurance. Nobody says you have to do that to be able to add this to your practice. Now, if you want to get to 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, how many other devices per month, then certainly medical insurance is going to be more and more valuable in doing that. But if you're, I want to get started. I want to do 2, 3, 4 a month. You can absolutely, there's enough people out. I tell people, to me, it's no different than clear aligners. That's like saying we can't do clear aligners if insurance doesn't pay. And the truth is the vast majority of our patients don't have any benefits for a clear aligner therapy. But yet we have a multi-billion dollar company making a lot of money doing clear aligners, a lot of dentists doing a lot of clear aligner therapy.
And patients pay double what they would pay for an appliance. Yeah. And the thing,
and that's plastic too.
Yeah, that's the thing that I don't get with the consumer is they never look at clear aligners and go, those cost $5,000. When it comes to an oral appliance, they're like, that costs $2,500. So I think present a good value, but we never refer to the appliance as costing $2,500. It's the therapy or the program. So therapy gives that idea of ongoing treatment. So anyways,
So we've covered the reasons to add sleep apnea to practice. I think probably the first question I often get is, where do you get the patients from? And they're walking in and out of your practice every single day. It's a matter of learning how to identify which patients are potential candidates and giving them the opportunity to get tested to see if they even have this condition and talk about how what the signs and symptoms are and how therapy, whether it's dental therapy, whether it's medical therapy, can help them. So that kind of brings us into the workflow. What is the workflow in your office, Aaron, on these cases, like for somebody getting started? What would something like this look like?
Well, we always start with a consult with our sleep champ. And so Lonnie's the one that kind of owns the program. She came in as a front desk applicant. but she has some ortho experience, clinical experience. She just didn't really want to work clinical. I was like, boy, do I have the job for you. So from consult, if they've had a sleep study within 2 years, we'll take scans, go over their medical insurance coverage and get her, like, get the pre-op going and go from there. But if they have not had a sleep study, which many patients haven't, that sleep study is the key. That is the magic. Because as soon as they see their results, all of a sudden, this, I'm only here because my wife made me, and I don't think I really snore, goes from that to almost ownership and urgency, as you say. And they see, then all of a sudden they see the value in what we're providing. So we offer a few ways to get a sleep study easily and not through a complicated medical pathway. And then we'll go over the sleep study again. That's the magic. Take scans and records, go over financials and move right along.
Yeah. So kind of what I've seen as we implement and help others implement is, to me, the first step is you got to learn how to identify which patients are good candidates,
or
potential candidates, you know, and then you got to make them aware of what's going on. You have to help create some level of urgency about how, at the end of the day, oxygen is life, and breathing good at night and giving your body the ability to have your body to regulate itself through sleep, which is kind of what happens during sleep. It's regenerative. And then really asking them to take a test. And really that's step number two. After you identify and make them aware, is you want them to take a test. We need to facilitate helping to make it easy, whether that's you providing the test yourself, whether that's using a third party service, or whether that's sending them into the abyss of the medical model of hoping that they'll get it done or come back. They need to get tested. And then once you kind of do the test, the next step is you got to find if it's appropriate treatment for them, the dental therapy is the appropriate treatment, then you have to find a way to help fit into the budget. And so to me, the number one way to help fit into the budget is to find a way to make something that's $2,000, $3,000 fit into their budget through monthly payments, whether that's third-party financing, whether you choose to be the bank, you know, whatever ways your practice help make that work. And then if you're ready, and I've changed my stance on this over the last few years, is that I don't even encourage people in the beginning when they're starting this out to even bother with medical insurance as a method to add this to their practice. I say, you know what? If you're doing a line of therapy, you already know how to sell something that's $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, something that's 2 to 3 times more expensive than this. So you should have things in place that make it easier for patient to accept a life-changing therapeutic option for patients.
And we're generous with the payments. I mean, we're generous with the, like, letting them go a little longer than in dentistry.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, and those are individual decisions, you know, and what I always say is don't complicate it, overthink it. Let's just get started and see what exists in our practice. And then we can figure out these other complications or challenges or barriers and come up with solutions to them. And too often what I see with dentists, and this is in my own life as well, is that we're trying to figure out the perfect way, and perfection is the enemy of progress. And, you know, so we just need to get started. Now that leads us to one of my last questions. Or the next question is, what are the treatment options within dentistry today for somebody that has sleep apnea? And I want to talk a little bit beyond just oral appliance therapy. What is our primary defense? And then what are some of the newer defenses that are out there for people to know exist or learn about?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, podcast family, T-Bone here. Are you a dentist looking to elevate your practice and profits? Then pay close attention. Introducing the 3D Business Mastermind, the dental business coaching program designed for dentists who want to see real results. I've walked the path of practice ownership for nearly 25 years. I know your challenges. I felt your pain. This is your opportunity to overcome the chaos, the busyness, and the financial frustrations of owning a dental practice. Imagine a dental practice where your appointment book is highly productive, doing the dentistry you enjoy, your team is self-motivated, and your profits keep climbing. That's what the 3D Business Mastermind is all about. In this exclusive mastermind, you'll join a league of ambitious dentists driven to elevate their practices. You'll gain access to proven strategies, personalized coaching, and a community that understands your journey. So if you're ready to supercharge your dental practice and enjoy the success you deserve, visit www.3d-dentists.com and take the first step towards a brighter future in dentistry by filling out the 3D Business Mastermind application. Now, let's get to this week's episode.
There's obviously oral appliance therapy, but and then as far as surgeries, so the ones that kind of are in the dental world is a maxillomandibular advancement that is the Mac Daddy of them all. But I have seen some palatal expansion ways. There's different ways to do that, surgical and with appliances. Full mouth rehabs to open up the bite. They're talking about that and clear aligner. But the problem is there's nothing that's just a one solution issue. Expansion, all those things are great, but it's not necessarily curative. Myofunctional therapy. I have a myofunctional therapist now that just happened to come work for us, and that can help increase muscle tone of the airway. But sleep apnea is anatomical. It's muscle function. It's also like if your airway is collapsible, it's your breathing pattern. So there's a lot more to it than just anatomical. But we can certainly improve their situation with other solutions.
All right. So what I heard, and correct me if I'm wrong, is in dentistry, our primary line of defense is still oral appliance therapy. Okay. It's not a cure. It's management of sleep apnea. It has pluses and minuses to it. There is, what my brother has started doing, which is basically, Lafort's and sagittal split osteotomies and basically orthognathic surgery to open up the space for the tongue and the airway, through double jaw surgery or single jaw surgery in some cases. There is also, interventional therapy, where you get people as adolescents or children to help guide the growth of their airway. And people often say, what do you mean dentistry and airway? Well, if we think about it, the roof of the mouth is the base of the nose. How much space we have for our width of our mandible and our jaw is how much space we have for the tongue. So all of these things play a role in how much space we have in the nasopharynx, oropharynx. And so in dentistry, we have a lot that we can do. And then, there's some controversial and questionable options for expansion. I'm not here to say yes or no to any of that stuff. I don't know enough to say anything about that. And then, there's myofunctional therapy to help, as you mentioned, muscle tone and all of those things. So sleep apnea is, it's not like when I started, it was all about appliance therapy and so much more. And that's kind of what I love about it is there's opportunity to continue to grow, but there's also opportunity to really, like for me, we've defined ourselves that we're going to choose oral appliance therapy as the majority of the treatment that we do in our practice. And when we recognize that patients could benefit from other modalities, we happily refer them to other dentists even that like doing those modalities that I don't like.
Yep. We certainly keep it simple. I know if I need to laser the soft palate to take away the residual snoring, I have someone to refer to because we don't have a hard tissue laser. There's definitely, you can manage it in your practice and go beyond, either in your own practice or utilizing someone else.
I've seen a lot of ads on TV talking about sleep apnea therapy from pharmaceutical companies and medical device companies. What is some of that about?
So it's Inspire has so much money behind it. And so they've been really hitting the marketing, and it's only benefited me. So I was reading a study. There was 400,000 inquiries for Inspire, There was, from 400,000, there was, I think, 80,000 that actually like qualified to go get a consult. And then it went down from there to the point where 8,000 had the actual Inspire, from 400,000 to 8,000. So what happens to all those people in between?
The 392,000 people that recognize on their own that there's a problem?
They were coming to me. It's amazing. And I just actually saw an Inspire surgery last week. I went into it and they were letting me like have a front row seat, and it was fascinating. But that's because I reached out to the Inspire rep. We went to lunch. I'm like, look, we're all here to help the same people. And so it was really cool to see. But yeah, to get whittled down to actually getting the surgery, is there's a whole lot of people left out there that are actually asking for help.
Well, look, if dentistry thinks that sleep apnea is going away, they are sorely mistaken, okay? If we think that the good times will live on forever, we're probably mistaken. And that applies to sleep apnea as well. There will be ebbs and flows where it's challenging and less challenging. It's an amazing opportunity. You know, it's amazing to me where we've come with sleep apnea in our practice, from doing nothing to basically producing as much as an associate in our practice just in sleep apnea is pretty amazing. And I'm grateful and so proud that we stuck through the runway. And just like any flight, there's turbulence along the way, and we're kind of facing some of that turbulence right now. Through all this turbulence, we end up landing and coming out stronger through all of this. I don't think
Liz gets professional satisfaction and gets to go on sucking spit. I'm actually headed to physical therapy for my back, and I love that it's not physically taxing when I do sleep apnea. And patients are...
It's a blonde moment.
Yeah, blonde moment. It might be my competitive spirit, but when I get a denial or something, I'm like, oh no, you didn't. We're going to see, you're going to pay. Like, you almost have to have that, like, I don't want to say killer instinct, but justice. I just don't want them to get away with bullying us. So we get paid. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, good for you. Well, in closing, here's what I'd say. If you want a safe place to learn sleep apnea without a commercial message, with a good implemental plan that's been proven to work, that's working in real practicing general dentist practices, that's team-driven, with the right amount of science and the right amount of practical know-how, that's what Aaron provides with us here at 3D Dentists. It's amazing. We do a great job. We have we're sold out in Dallas. By the time this comes out, we might already be in Dallas. But we have a program in Seattle and a program in Raleigh this year. And for those of you that have been through the class and you failed to launch, get re-engaged. It's time. I'm telling you, stop worrying about the economy and start doing something about it. And these patients are walking in your practice, and plenty of these patients, enough of these patients are willing to do therapy. And look, if you can do two or three cases a month, that's $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $4,000 to $7,000 a month in revenue. You know, that's $50,000 to $100,000 a year. That moves the needle. And you'll find that it's an amazing addition to your practice. And then it snowballs, or it can snowball into something more amazing for your practice. So any closing thoughts, Aaron?
I love engaging with these doctors that love dentistry and want to take that next step. And I think we have a lot of fun along the way. And I've heard from people that have gone and taken other courses that ours by far is where they learn the most. So I'm excited to be in Dallas and excited to come to the West Coast. Or stay
there. Yeah, Northwest at that, the Pacific Northwest. So I think that's in August, correct?
Yes. Yeah, in Seattle. Absolutely.
Well, Aaron, thank you so much for coming back on. I'm sorry it's been so long. And I know our lives have been very busy and I haven't been able to connect as much. But hopefully we can make 2023 different in that sense. And for those of you that want more information, you know how to get to us, 3D-dentist.com, or you can contact us on social media and kind of go from there. So everybody, thank you for tuning in this week, and we'll catch you guys again next week.